Today's daf in Masechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Gimel. And we were in the middle of the sugya about Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. And we had just started really discussing the issue. It wasn't very clear. A number of issues weren't clear. One thing that wasn't clear is, what exactly does it mean Bifnei Rabbi? Is that literally in his presence? It is in the same city. If it's outside the city, what exactly is the definition of Mora Halacha? Would it be even to me, mafresh someone from doing something wrong? There's a lot of questions that remained up in the air. And what defines b'mokom rabbi? We also weren't quite sure about. So the last thing that we had learned was that Rabbi Amnuna was mora halacha in this town of Charta de Argos, even though it was during the lifetime of Rav Chisda, who was his rabbi. So now let's see a different issue, namely the idea of paskening whether a sakin is correct to use for shechita. Now, the halacha over there is that Chazal were koveya, even though normally there's absolutely no reason not to trust the guy. The sheikh says he checked the knife. I mean, he's a bucky. We don't need a chacham to check it after him. However, they made a takana mipnei kvodo shel chacham, that the every area, if you're in a city where there's a Talmud Chacham, then you're mechuyev to go to the Talmud Chacham before you shecht and show him the knife. So in other words, that was a din specifically that was made out of Kavod HaTorah, L'chavod HaShel Chacham. So Ravina once actually was, Roya Asakin instead of being Mara the Sakin, and he did this in the town of Bavel, even though Rav Ashi, who was in, he wasn't in the town of Bavel, but he was in Masa Mechasya, and Rav Ashi was alive. So Rav Ashi asked him, why did you do that? My time of Admar Hachi. Omar Lehi, so he, Ravina said to him, well, we just learned last night that Rav Amnuna was Mora Halacha in Charta de Argos while Rav Chisda was alive. So I felt that it was mutter for me to take the covet. Rav Ashi said, excuse me, and what I was told is that he refused to be Mora Halacha in Charta de Argos. And actually, lav ori itmar, said Ravina to him, well, let me explain it to you. In one place it says he did, and in one place it says he didn't, okay? So there were actually two completely different stories. These aren't contradictory versions of the same story. We're talking about different times and different people who were in charge. So while Rav Huna, who was his Rebbe, was alive over there, he would not be Mora Halacha. But he was Mora Halacha when Rav Chisda was alive. That was after Rav Huna had died, despite the fact that Rav Amnuna was a Talmud, but he was a Talmud Chaver Dilei Havid. And I am also your Talmud Chaver. I'm not a Talmud Muvak to you. And because of that, I'm bringing a Raya that he, in Charta de Argos, despite the fact that normally if he would have been in the presence of Rav Chisda, he would not have taken Kovet for himself. But since he wasn't in his presence, and he was also a Talmud Chaver, so because of that, he was Mora Halacha, and I did the same thing that when you were not here, you were in Masa Mechasya, and I was Roya Asakin Babava, which means that I had absolutely a right to do that. So the question is, right here, we get for the first time this concept of Talmud Chaver. What does a Talmud Chaver mean? So Rashi learns a Talmud Chaver means, for some reason, he says, by definition, it's a guy who's on the same darga of chokhmah as the other one is. However, he learned a few things from him. Right? So as we said yesterday, learning a few things is also machayev you, like we learned from David, and even though he only learned one thing, he considered him to be a Rebbe by Achi Taifa and so on. And that is what it's referring to, which is a little strange, because I mean, why does Rashi go all the way to the other extreme? So basically, there's a big machlokus over here of how really to define the Talmud Chaver. Others learn that a Talmud Chaver has something to do with the darga of your chokhmah, and that even if you were at one time the Talmud of this individual and had learned rov chokhmas mimeno, and again, as we explained yesterday, most learn that the concept of rov chokhmas doesn't have to mean the actual data, but it means the approach to learning and his entire way in which he sees a sugya and so on comes from that person. It's also considered to be a Talmud Muvak. However, once he becomes on the same madrega of Chochmah as his erstwhile Rebbe, he's considered to be a Talmud Chofer, even to someone from whom he learned most of his Chochmah. However, it's clear from here, and actually the Gron, the Shulchan Aruch, points out that apparently Rashi is chelek on that shita, because he says the only reason he called himself a Talmud Chofer was because he only learned a few things from Rav Ashi. Mashma, that even though he was on the same madrega of Chochmah, Rav Ashi, had he in fact learned Rov Chochmah, so he would never have said that, and he wouldn't have been Sar Sakina. So this, okay, this is a big machlokas about what exactly is considered to be a Talmud Chofer. There's also another machlokas over here, and that is that according to Tosfos over here we're talking about, he wasn't in the same city, but there was also a minimal distance. And the minimal distance is the shiur of the machana in the midbar. So it needed actually shalosh parsois, there's four meal in every parsa. So it's Yudbe's meal, which we learned before from the pasuk, that was the shiur of the machana in the midbar. So in other words, according to Tosfos, we're talking over here that he's not only being matir, being Reya the Sakin, because of the fact that he was a Talmud Chofer, but he was also talking about where he was more than three parsaot away from Rav Ashi. So that means that there would be two separate dinim. And again, it depends how you learn Talmud Chofer. So three possible combinations of dinim. The thing is, though, that the Gro himself actually brings a Raya that Rashi, even though he doesn't say it here, but Rashi, in other places, Rashi says that it's, or it doesn't say Beferish, but it's clear from Rashi based on the Sugya that Rashi holds that this din is not correct. What Tosfos is saying, the din of Sholosh Parsos is something else, which we'll see in a moment. But that in this halacha, for Lagabe, a Talmud Chover is only mamish in the same city and not, it does not require the Sholosh Parsos. The Sholosh Parsos is only referring to a real Talmud, as a Talmud Muvak. So that's how Ravina explained what he did. And that's why I had a right to be Raya the Sakin. Omar Rava, there's another din in which Raya Sakin is different than the normal Psak Halacha that you would give. And that is that at Surbe Mirabonan Chazi L'Nafshe. If you're a Talmud Chacham, then even if you're in the city with your Rebbe, this din of being Raya the Sakin as a takona for the Chacham, the norm is that the Rebbe has so many interactions. I mean, forget about it. You don't have to bring me the knife. It's ridiculous. So that they were not Misakin and Minastam. The Rebbe's not Makbar that he has to look at his Sakin, which is only a formal kind of thing. So because of that, he can look at it on his own. It doesn't have to be Mavakish Rishus. There's a Machlokas. Whether what I said a moment ago is true. I said that Re'iya Sakin is different than normal things. And the question is whether that's even true legabe paskening a halacha. Something that's nogeya me personally, or something that's nogeya my home, whether in that case I would have a right to pasken, let's say for my family, even b'mokum rabe, the same way that it would be Sar Sakina. The pashtus is that it's the same according to most beforshim. However, there's some that learn that this din of Sar Sakina is very specific to a formal act, but not to an actual psak halacha, where it remains the same no matter to whom you're issuing the psak. Now, Ravina once came to Mechuza, and Mechuza is Rava's town, and the Ushbezichne, normally Ushbezichne means the one who is taking care of the bed and breakfast and is renting you the room, or the inn, an innkeeper it's used as. So the Ushbezichne brings a knife and shows Ravina the knife. So Ravina said to him, excuse me, you have to take it to Rava. I can't pasken on your knife over here. This is Rava's town. Omar Le, so the Ushbezichne said to him, I thought that Rava said that it's Surbe Mirabonon Chazi L'Nafshe. So if I'm showing you the knife, and then I'm going to be shechting, you're going to be eating that meat. So why can't you look at my knife? Why are you telling me I have to take it to Rava? Omar Le, well, we could discuss this, but you know, the meat that you bring me somehow always appears on the bill when I leave. which means that I'm actually not being Roy of the Sakin for me. I'm being Roy of the Sakin for you. And then I got to pay you for the meat, which is the same as my going into a butcher shop. You better show it to Rava. Now we could discuss this. And then maybe I could look at your knife for you. But there can't be any bills for the meat afterwards. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Elazar Meagrunia and Rav Acha appears to be the correct Yirsa, and Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, they came once and they visited Rav Acha Breda Ravika, and it was in the town where it was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So there were an awful lot of Achas around here. Okay, so let's not get confused. Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa was visiting, and he was visiting Rav Acha Breda Ravika, but the Rav in the town was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So we get that straight. So Rav Acha Breda Ravika, who was the balabas that they came to visit, so he wanted to make a Choshva Igla Tilsa, which is either a third-born egel, or it's an egel that has grown to one-third of its full growth, so then it's still very soft, and that's the best quality veal. And Aite Sakina, so he comes and he brings them the knife, and he wants to shach for them. Again, assuming that if he's going to shach for them, then basically there's no problem, because they're all allowed, they're all Talmidei Chacham, they're allowed to look at the sakin themselves. So Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa says, what are you bringing me the sakin for? You're not worried that this is the town of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. You have to bring the sakin to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Elazar Mehagronia told him, no, because Rav has said, it's Sirmi Mirabonu Kebichazi Lenafshe, and that's why he's bringing it to you. Anyway, so Rav Elazar went ahead and he looked at the knife for him. And he anish Rav Elazar Mehagronia, and because of that, some terrible thing happened to him, which everyone understood was because of the fact that he was Raya the Sakin, and he told them they don't have to show it to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Understand, but why should did he deserve any kind of einish? The Amar Rava, Tzurbin Mirabonu Chazil Anafshe, isn't the halacha that he could do it for himself? So why was he punished Ben Hashemayim? It's different for two possible reasons. First of all, someone had already brought up the problem of what about the Rav? What about Rav Acha Bar Yaakov? Once someone brings it up and then you ignore it, that's already a chutzpah. Mamela, if you just take it for granted that that's the halacha and that this is the din, you don't have to show it to Rav, okay. But if somebody says, isn't this a pegia in the covet of the Rav? And you start darshaning, you understand why it's not a pegia in the covet. That's already a pegia in the covet of the Rav. This is a subtle point, but the situation is very definitive. This happens very often. So something is brought up and then you're going to figure out why it's okay. Once you have to dray a cup why it's okay, it's probably not okay. So if nobody had brought it up, it would be one thing. But once somebody brought it up, it's not correct. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, without coming on to that, that Ibai Sema, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was not just the Rav there. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was the Gadol Ador. He was Muflag. He was extremely, at that point, he was a Be'ezik Nasei, and he was considered to be an extraordinary Chacham. And that's different. I mean, it's not like, stop. I didn't show it to the town rabbi. I mean, it's really not correct. Omar Rav, another thing that Rav says is not part of the normal din of worrying about giving a psak b'makom rabbi is lafrushe misura. You see somebody who's about to do something that is wrong, or he's doing something and you could stop him. So lafrushe misura, even if your mom is right in front of him, shaper dummy, you would be allowed to stop him. Now, what does stopping mean? According to Rashi, it means you could be mochiach and hey, stop that. But it does not mean that you can give him a full psak and tell him, look, what you're doing is wrong because kach for kach, and this is the halacha and so on. This is true according to Rashi. Other Rishonim, including Tosfos over here, definitely do not hold that. Now, the din of befonav is mutter, even if it's mamish a psak and you're explaining it to him, and it still would be the same as far as, we'll see what as far as in a moment. So Ravina was once right by Ravashi, and he sees a guy on Shabbos that he's tying his donkey to a tree, to a dekel, to a tzinta, to a palm on Shabbos, and he's not allowed to use big mishtamish b'ila. So he yells at him, hey, you, cut that out. V'lo ashkach be, And the guy didn't pay any attention to him. So he put him at the chayre. Amar leila, havi agav Rabbi Shamta, you should be in nidui. So then he felt Ravina was like, maybe he shouldn't have done that right in front of Ravashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi, ki agav mi mischazik hafkeruta. Does this seem to be like apikurs? Apikurs is beikar means hefkerut, in which a person has no covet for talmidei chachomim. So was I right to do that? So Ravashi said to him, listen, it's a pasuk. Ein chokhma ve'ein tfuna ve'ein etza l'neged Hashem. What that means is that kol mokom sheyesh bo chilul Hashem l'neged Hashem means in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where his honor is at stake. So kol mokom sheyesh bo chilul Hashem ein chokin kavod l'rav. So that you don't have to sit and worry about me. You're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nafkamino, how you treat me in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't consider that bichlal. So that means that otherwise, apparently, he wouldn't have been allowed to do it, even though we said that he was only a Talmud Chover. Now that has a lot to do with how you're mefarish the Talmud Chover, right? So, I mean, these are basically a Talmud Chover, according to what Rashi was learning, is just a friend that learned a couple of things from him. And afal pikein, it's mashma that he wouldn't have been able to do that. Okay, fine. Not all the Rishonim agreed to that, as I mentioned to you before. And others learned that it would only be usher, according to the other approach of Talmud Chover. Okay, now Rava is tining that, Omar Rava, this halacha, and now do not think that this direct, yeah, Rich? Richie, did you want to say something? Okay, then mute yourself again. So Rava says, and what we're about to learn is a halacha that is not a direct continuation of the sugya, which was dealing with the mice with Ravina were over there. He said, Beferish, I'm a Talmud Chover. He's talking, Rav is talking about a real Talmud in front of a Rav Muvak. So this is not a Talmud Chover. Because of that, it's much more chomer. So Rav says, if he's mamish in the actual befanav, in the presence of his Rebbe, and he's meira halacha befanav, so then he's actually chayev misa bidei shamayim. So the question again, what does befanav mean? I mean, this is about chlokis. So we saw the Tosfos holds that befanav means anything that's within shalosh parsos, because we learned it out from the Machane in the Midbar. So that means that even if he's in a different city, if it's within shalosh parsos, there's a chayev misa for actually being Meira Halacha. More than that, even though it's Osir, Shalo Befanav, it's Osir, but he's not Chayev Misa. Now that's Tosis's pshat. It's not the way that many other Rishonim learn, in which case the meaning of Befanav means literally Befanav, and even within Sholesh Parsois, then he is not Chayev Misa, even though he would be Osir. Fine. Shalo b'fanav. Ask the Gemara, you're saying that shalo b'fanav, there's no chiyav misa? Lo? V'tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, omer lo mesu b'nei Aaron. The b'nei Aaron of Nadav Avihu only died because they were over on Shahoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. But they said halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why they were immediately burned. My Dorosh, what did they learn? They learned that since it says in a pasuk v'natnu b'nei Aharon haKohen esh al hamizbeach, and that means that even though afa pisha esh yoredet ben hashamayim, there's a mitzvah v'natnu b'nei Aharon haKohen esh al hamizbeach, meaning it doesn't matter whether there's a fire that's coming down from heaven and is burning it and so on. There's a separate mitzvah like any other aveda that you have to do. So we're mechuyev to put an esh on the mizbeach anyway. Now this is a big problem, because the pashtus is that they were nichnas lifnai v'lifnim to bring the keteres, and there's no eish ben hashamayim there, even the mizbech haketeres, there's no eish ben hashamayim, the eish was taken from the mizbech hakitzon. So like, what does this mean? So Tosfos says that this was a special time. We're talking about over here that it was mitzvah l'shoah, because they were being mechanech the mishkan at the time, and enochinami, this was a mitzvah l'sha'ah to bring keteris on the outside. Okay, but then that doesn't find any consistency with the medrash that they were Nichlas Lefnim, which is the Pashtus of Acharei Mos, Shnei B'nei Aaron, Bezot Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. So there's other approaches as to what this has to do with what it is that they did. So it seems to be referred to two different places. But in any event, the important thing was that since they didn't discuss things with Moshe Rabbeinu, they were Chai of Misa, and there was a Misa with the Talmid Achad Ayalo L'Rabbi Eliezer, who was Meira Halacha Befonav, and Rabbi Eliezer said to his wife, Ima Shalom, I'm very shocked if this guy ends up living out the year. And he didn't. So Ima Shalom asks him, how did you know this guy wasn't going to live? Naviata. What do you think, I'm a Hasidic Rebbe over here? Lo Navi Anochi, Lo Ben Navi Anochi. I understand that every Rebbe is able to tell you if a guy's going to live his year. I'm not on that madrig, you understand? So I'm not a Navi, and I'm not a Ben the Navi, even to be a Derech Navi is. Lekach mekublani. I said, simply, it's a halacha. Kol amore halacha b'fnei rabo. Chayav misa. And, so what does this have to do with, I mean, it says before Nafs, he was right in front of him. We're trying to bring a raya that there's a chayav of misa not in front of him. Okay, here's the raya. And Rabba Bar Bar Chana said that Rabbi Yochanan gave the details of what the misa was over there, that the name of that Talmud was Yehuda Ben Gurion. And it, at the time that he gave the Psak Halacha, supposedly Bifnei Reb Eliezer, he was Rochak Bimenu Sholosh Parsos, which of course is, ties in with Tosfos' claim that the Sholosh Parsos is definitive. It's not just part of the story. So he was Sholosh Parsos away. And Rava said that if he's not Mamish in his presence, that there is no Chiyav. So this apparently shows that Rava is wrong. Answers the Gemara, no, what do you mean? It says Befanav, he was in front of him. Okay. Did you just hear me tell you that Rabbi Yochanan said he was Shalosh Parsos away? What are you telling me he was in front of him? Excuse me. Rabbi Yochanan was not. Rabbi Yochanan was telling you his address. He was not telling you where he was standing at the time that he gave the Psak Halacha. Look, Ulataymech, if you think that Rabbi Yochanan is giving you the details of the Psak Halacha, you honestly believe that we need to know the guy's name and his father's name. Yeah, you know, maybe we should know the social security number. The point is that I'm trying to give you the details. You know, we're referring to a guy whose name was Yehuda Ben X, and he was lived in location Y. So what's the point of my telling you this? Because Shalotomar Mashalaya. He wants to tell you that, look, very often we say things, we don't mean it's literally true that there was a Talmud and he dropped dead. And so we mean that this kind of thing can happen. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this is a real story. Here's the guy, here's his father's name, here's his address. He wasn't coming to tell you where the Psak Halacha was. The Psak Halacha was in front of him. So it's only Shalot Tomar, Mashallah Yasu, because of that he gives you as many details as he was aware of. Amr Pchir Barava, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Amorei Halacha Bifnei Rabo, Ra'ui La'akishon Nachash. A snake should bite him. Shenemar Vayan Elihu ben Barachel Abuzi Vayomar. So here it says when he's talking to Eov, Sa'ir Ani Liamin Al Kain Zachalti. Listen, I'm just a youngster over here, and I don't feel that I have a right to tell you my opinion, and that's why Zachalti. I didn't say anything. What is Zachalti? So Zachalti is the same lashon that we find Im Chamat Zochale Afar. That we just had in the laning. And that means that it's a reference to a nachash, because it's called Zachalti, Zochale Afar. So he's saying, if I would have spoken when the Zakanim were here, I would have been roy to be bitten by a snake. Ziri Amar Reb Chanina, a person like that is called a chote. Shenemar Belibi Tzafanti Imrasecha, I keep in my heart what it is that I know about your words, Ribbono Shel Olam, and I don't say them, leman lo echtalach, but I shouldn't be a chote to you by expressing the Divrei Torah. And in fact, Rav Amnuna pointed out, it seems to be a contradiction. On one hand, it says, b'libi tzafanti imratecha, which means that David HaMelech didn't say what it was that he felt needed to be said in terms of giving a psak halacha. And in the other pasuk, it says, bisarti tzedek b'kahal rav, that I said over the dinim that were correct, in my opinion, in public. Answers the Gemara, correct. It depends whether his Rebbe was alive. So, Bizman she'ira haya iri kayam. So he did not open his mouth because he felt that it would be Mer Halacha b'fnei Rabbo. The Kambizman, Shein Irahaya Iri Kayam. And Omer Baba Bar Zavda Kolanotain, this is another thing that we learn out from the way that David HaMelech treated Ira Haya Iri. And even though Ira Haya Iri is called Haya Iri based on Yoyer ben Menashe, which is mashma that he came from the family of Yoyer ben Menashe, he was a Kohen. So Tosis discusses how could he be a Yoyer ben Menashe and why is he called Yairi if he's a Kohen, and points out that very often we talk about Mishpachas Ha'em in these cases where the person was Misyaches all the time after his mother, despite the fact that he was a Kohen. So anyway, we can learn out another Maisa, Halacha L'Maisa, from David HaMelech's treatment of Ira HaYairi. And that is that if somebody always gives his matonis to one Kohen, and he doesn't, even though you have a right to do any place where we have the Bailam has the Rishus and has a Tevas Hanah to be able to define what Kohen he gives it to, nonetheless, it's not the right thing to do. By the way, this is very nogea. The reason it's not the right thing to do is because when there's a din of providing for others, it is good to spread the largesse. So you shouldn't say, okay, so I'll give all my tzedakah to one person. There's many people who need help. So even though, of course, it's a tremendous mitzvah and you're supporting that individual, but there's an inyan to also make sure that you have some chelik in other tzedakahs, which, by the way, is why even though we give to Rav Kaplan's fund and that gives to many, many different people, I wouldn't take your money and not use it in a way, not with your rishus, but for myself and for anybody that asks, there's also other funds that I give to make sure that the money is spread around in different segments of societies and so on. So this we learned from over here, that somebody who gives all of his matones to the same coin all the time, even though it's obviously his yotze and he has a right to do that, but he ends up being mevira av lo olam. He causes the world to be put into a state of famine. Shinemar ira haya iri haya kohen le David. What does that mean? He was a kohen le David. What? He was only a kohen for David and not anybody else. The kohen amalo, elo shayim shagir lo matanotav. David used to give him everything. And right after that pasuk, it says, vayira'av bimei David. Apparently attributing the ra'av bimei David to the fact that there was this unique relationship of a kohen to David. Anyway, getting back to the din of Meir Halacha. So Rabbi Eliezer, I'm there. A person who gives a psak din in front of his Rebbe, moridino to migdulato, he loses his chashivas, even if it was already paskin for him, that he is supposed to be zercha to a particular thing, he loses it. Where do we see that? Shenemar vayomer alazar kohen al anshei hatzava. Remember the whole story where they came back after Melchemes Midyan, and they're coming back. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say anything. And he says, Zot chukat ha-Torah, asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, and starts telling them the dinim of Tyrus Kalim. Ach et ha-Nechoshes, et zon et zofo. And because he did that, even though he said, Beferish, Zot chukat ha-Torah, asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, so he didn't say that this is coming from me. And he said, "Beferish lachi abba tziva voti lo tziva chas v'sholom." I learned this from Moshe. Nonetheless, we find that he was nenash. Where do we find that he was nenash? Because originally it says v'lifnei elazar kohen ya'amod. So it says that Moshe, when Moshe gave to Yoshua, so it says Yoshua is going to have to be standing in front of Elazar kohen in order to ask him what to do from the Urim v'Tumim. And never in Tanakh do we find that that happened. How's that possible? It must be that originally this is part of the gedula that was given to Elazar HaKohen, that the Melech would have to come to him to ascertain the Das HaMokim. And because he took on himself to explain what the Das HaMokim was in place of Moshe Rabbeinu, he loses that tzchus. Omer Rabbi Levi called a Moshe Mila Kamei Rabbe, a person who gives psak, he says a word about something. Ozil Shaol below Vlad. He goes to the grave without a child. Where do we see this? From Yoshua himself. Because it says, Yoshua bin Nun Misharet Moshe mi Bechurav said, Vayomar Adoni Moshe Kilaim. kind of chutzpah is this? You're in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, these people are Chayav Misa, Eldad and Medad, and the things that they're saying. And we find that, in fact, Yoshua died without children, because it says, Nun Beno, Yoshua Beno, and ends with that. So apparently the end of the family was Yoshua, and there were no sons to Yoshua. Upliga to Rav Abba Bar Papa, but saying Rav Levi, who said this, apparently doesn't agree with Rav Abba Bar Papa, who explains that this was a completely different reason. The Amr Rav Abba Bar Papa, you know why Yoshua was punished not to have children? Because Lo Ne'anash Yoshua Ela Bishvah Shepitelet Yisroel Laila Achat Mipirya V'Rivya. Because he made Klal Yisroel be Osir in Pirya V'Rivya for a whole night. Where do I see that, says Rav Abba? Because it says, Vayibe Yot Yoshua Biricho Vayisayna Vayar, and he sees this frightening image of Isha Medle Negdo Charbo Shlufa Biyado, and it turns out to be the Sar Tzva Hashem, but he's frightened, and he says, are you from us, in the Tzareinu? And so the Malach answers him, and he says, Lo Ani Sar Tzva Hashem Atabati, and now I have showed up, meaning that there's something that you did that means of I've come to avenge what you did. So what did I do? So Amarlo, so the Balak says to Yoshua, look, man, you're in big trouble. Today, Emesh, yesterday, meaning today before nighttime, Bitaltem Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim, you made the Tamid bottle because you got everybody busy with this war. And now, Akshav, Bitaltem Tamil Tera, now you've made people stop learning because right now they could have just relaxed. It's at night. Al Ezim Ambata asks Yoshua, so which one is the one that made you come to cut my head off? Amalo, right now, for the fact that you are not learning. Miyad Vayeler Yoshua Balaila Ubitocha Emek. So immediately, it's a little bit strange because it didn't really immediately, because that pasuk is actually talking about the Milchemes Ha'ai, but so Rashi explains that it's mashma that this is the tikkun that he did then for what he had done before. So he immediately starts learning into the night. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, what that means is shalach bu'umka shel halacha, so that he was busy learning the whole night, and instead of dealing with the tactics and strategy of the war, which had really already been decided, he had everybody sit down and learn. Which means, says Rav Abba, that they remained around Yericho during the night, and that means that they didn't put the Oren HaBris back into Gilgal. The Gemire, we have a Kabbalah that says that Kol Zman Sharon V'Shchina Shruim Shelo B'Mekoman Asur B'Tash V'Shamita. That if the Shechina is not able to be in its bedroom, so to speak, which is the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, so we find that Yaakov Avinu slept there, and that is the book of the intimacy of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're not allowed to be intimate with each other, then what, you're going to go be intimate with a woman? So therefore, nobody is allowed to engage in anything intimate. So because of Yoshua, the Navi was telling him, well, you're mechuyev to be a state of siege in the middle of the night. Nobody's going out in the middle of the night. Don't worry about it. Should have put the Oren HaBris back and got everybody into the Beis HaMedrash. So because of that, he did not deserve to have that which that night of reproduction would have given Klal Yisrael, all of those extra kids, and therefore he was not zeichet to having sons. Meanwhile, you see something else from here, that the Malach said to him, okay, Mela, you messed up on the Karban Tamid, but now I'm coming. This is outrageous. You stop learning. So you see from here that the bittul of Talmud Torah is more chashuv than the bittul of the Talmud. Omer Bruna Amarab. Another issue that prevents people from having intimacy is having someone be in a bedroom, which prevents the people who would normally be alone in that bedroom from having any intimate relations. So Omer Bruna Amarab, kol yashen bekil'ah, she'ish v'ishto shruyim ba, if you have a guest, the only place you put him in is in the bedroom, it's a one-room house, and this guy stays in that room. That's what the pasuk says in Micha. Look at your insensitivity. that you chase out the wives of my children from the place of their pleasures. The Amar of Yosef, this is true even if you know for a fact that his wife is a Nida and they're not able to be intimate anyway. Nonetheless, you still have to recognize that there's a relationship there, and it's an intimate relationship, even though it's not a physical relationship at this time. And having somebody there, it really disturbs feelings of intimacy and care and so on. And you shouldn't have been in that room. Oh, my. So Rava says, that doesn't make sense. I mean, if the wife is a Nida, you're doing the guy a favor, because this way he's not going to come to sleep with his wife. I mean, what if Chas v'Shalom would have come to be Mekel on the Nida? It's a Ktav Alav Bracha. It's a good thing to do. But that's crazy, says the Gemara. Velohi. That's completely irrelevant. Because who ever heard of such a thing that you're supposed to keep people away from their wives who are Nida? Until you showed up in the house, this guy, meanwhile, is married for the past 30 years, and you're the one who's going to be saving him from sleeping with Anita. That's silly. So obviously, the whole concept over there is that the Klal Yisrael has that madrenga that the Pasuk talks about. So that is not true. Anyway, getting back to what we've been talking about, which I think it was called Erevin, right? Oh, yeah. So we were talking about Eruvei Chatzeros. We were talking about what the din is of a goy, and that a goy, he can only rent out the rights to the chatzer, but we cannot accept from him a bit of the rights to the chatzer. Now, all of that, of course, was a trick, because we knew that it's rare that the guy's going to accept the rental, because people are very suspicious of allowing Jews to rent things. There's got to be some weird thing that they're doing. You know, people give problems to the Arabs. What are those wires? Who knows what kind of horrible radiation these Jews are doing to kill all the goyim and so on. So, okay, so they won't rent. Now, what if the guy actually refuses to rent, which is really what the whole takana was in the first place, right? So the guy refuses to rent. And is there any way that you would be able to carry in that area? So it was a mavui where David Dairiba Lachman Baristak, this guy who was a goy, a famous guy, powerful guy, and because he lived there, nobody could carry. So Omrule Ogalan Rishusach, so they tried to keep getting him to rent. Absolutely not. I don't rent to Jew boys. Okay, so then nobody could carry. Here, all of the baby carriages are stuck. It's a disaster. As you know, the whole community could have fallen apart. So what can we do? So they said to Abaya, okay, give us an eitzah. What are we going to do? So Abaya said to them, I'll tell you what you can do. You can be mevatel. All of you can be mevatel your rishus to one Jew in the chatzer. And then it'll only be one Jew living there together with one goy. And we paskin that one Jew, we just paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that one Jew who lives there is considered to be lo shchiach, and therefore there's no problem. And then you can carry without worrying about him because he doesn't have a dira. Ha ha, teach him a lesson. Because the din is, it's a yochid b'mokam nachri, yochid b'mokam nachri doesn't answer. Omrelo. So they asked Abaya, well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, the only reason that it works that way is because it's not shchiach. But I mean, if 100 people are there, then it is shkiach. So then the gezerah should still obtain, right? So it's elo delo shkicha dayari, but ochoko dayari, says Abaya. Look, man, that's the way halacha works, you know? Is there one rishus of a Jew here or is there not? Okay, don't give me your philosophy now, guys. I mean, ko bitule rishusayo gabechad, that's the way bitul rishus works. Because it itself was not, they didn't make a gezerah that you can't be mevatel rishus legabe chad. Come on, how often would a thing like that happen? That the entire chatzer gives everything to one person. What, so you think the rabbanon included that in the takana, that when we define what the meaning is of one person living with a goy, it includes where people fake out and they try to make it look like one place because they're mevatel rishus. That's not shchiach. And remember that things that aren't shchiach, the Rabbanan don't include in a takana to take that into consideration. So therefore, it's a milta lo shchiach, and a milta lo shchiach lo gozerei Rabbanan. Anyway, so Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua, he went and told Rava what it was that Abaya did, and that Abaya gave them this eitzah. And Rava said to him, oh my God, if they listen to a buy in this, you might as well throw out the whole din of Eruv from that Mavoi. I mean, that means from then on, nobody's going to believe that it's necessary to take care of a guy that's living there. And in the end, the whole takana will become batal. Think they're going to do that every week. So Ravuna said, no, of course, what we're going to do is the ma'arvin. In other words, it's not going to be enough for them to do that, because you're right, then they would forget Erev. We make them also make an Erev, and then after making the Erev, then they're mevatel rishus. So basically, it's not like people are going to forget about Erevim because it's all one rishus. So Rava says, so what did you achieve? What you achieved is that then people will get to believe that you can make an Erev and forget about the guy. That's what they'll believe. They know that he didn't agree to rent out his rishus. So they'll figure, okay, so if you make an Erev, everybody makes an Erev, then you don't have to include the guy and you don't need for him to rent out his rishus, right? No, said Ravuna, chas for shalom. What are you talking about? We put up this big sign and we give a hachroza. Everybody has to know that even though we have an Erev here, the Erev doesn't work. We're only doing the Erev so that we should remember that there's an Erev. The reason that it works is because nobody lives here. There's only one person living here. And all of these people are part of a bitul rishus. Oh, says Rava, really now? And I suppose that all of the kids that live there and who collected the Erev and who know that this guy is a guy, they understand your announcement. The announcement is that this was a din. Right. So achrazat ledarnake, this was like a great, great answer to my problem. So the children are going to grow up knowing that they made an Erev in that chutzar, knowing that there was a goy there. Every one of those kids is going to be having families that are going to be making Erevin with goyim in the chutzar. I mean, after all, they asked Abayan. This was the way that things should be done. And what are you talking about? Well, you're more from the Abayan and so on and so forth. It's a disaster. So there's no such thing. Achrazata ledardike is nonsense. Elam Arava, look, you want to do something about it, I can tell you what you can do. Okay, there is something to do, but this is what Abaya said is a disaster. What you can do is you can get one guy to wheedle his way into a relationship with this Lachman character, you know, and then he'll be able to pass his exams because he's got free access to Lachman. But no, that's a different Lachman. Sorry. One guy can wheedle his favor into this Lachman. And then, like, just sort of agav, he can ask him, you know something, I need a place for my lawnmower. Maybe could you let me put my lawnmower in your garage there? And then, yes, it'll allow him to do that. So let him put something there. And at that moment that he puts something there, and the question is whether he really needs to put something there. Actually, we pass it, he doesn't really need it, he just needs to have the truth. But it's Mashmir, and some learned that he has to actually put something there. And at that point, he would have the din of a Sechiro Velakito. So somebody that this guy has is, who works for him is considered to be, as Rav Yudam or Shmuel said, that even if he's got somebody working for him who might be Jewish, and he's a Sechiro or Lakito, so he's hired as a hired hand, he can give noten eruvo v'dayo. That would be enough for including the goy's house. So since this person was given the right to use that house, now he will sneakily become part of the eruv on behalf of the goy for whom he works, because now he's a Jew that has the dinim of an eruv. That you can get away with.